A while back, my wife Bobby and I went to Nashville, Tennessee for 4 days of meetings. We got to the hotel and we started settling in. And then suddenly I noticed that Bobby was taking our stuff, our clothing, out of the suitcases and putting them into the drawers in the hotel. A little discussion ensued, since I was wondering what she was doing. Is it worth the effort to take our clothes from our suitcases and put them in the drawers when we're only going to be here such a short period of time? Why don't we just leave them in the suitcase? How much do you make yourself at home in a hotel? This morning, as we consider the faith of Abraham, we are reminded that God is calling His people to live as pilgrims. And I would like you to reflect on this question today. How much do you make yourself at home in the world? Do you live out of the suitcase, or do you move things into the drawers when your real home is in heaven? We have been studying Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. And this morning we are in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. If you would turn there with me. The example of Abraham as a man of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and this morning verses 8 through 10. We read, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now God calls Abraham, by the way, I'll use Abraham rather than Abram, just so we don't all get confused. But at this point it is Abram, it gets changed. But we really know him as the man of faith, Abraham. He lived in a city called Ur of the Chaldees. And God reaches down there and calls him and speaks to him. Ur of the Chaldees is an idolatrous city in Babylonia. Babylonia was just north of the Persian Gulf that we know today. Something of the spiritual climate in Ur of the Chaldees is seen a number of years later. You remember Jacob, one of the patriarchs, goes back to the home country in Mesopotamia to get a bride from his, that's where his uncle Laban lives, and so he's looking for a bride, and he actually ends up with two, but that's another story. When he finally leaves with his wives, there is a dust up. Rachel has stolen the household idols. You remember she hid them under her saddle and sat on them. Got away with it. This was Abraham's culture and life and family. They weren't virtuous, righteous people. And God reaches down into this wretchedness and into this sin and sovereignly shows grace to Abraham, changing him from an idol worshiper and a wicked, evil one at that, and making him an example of God's grace and mercy in a man of faith. Abraham is a wonderful example to us of God's surprising and amazing grace. Well, God speaks to Abraham and he instructs him to leave his home and to travel to an unknown country. And God says that he will make of him there in that country a great nation. And through him he will be a blessing to the whole world. Now, as we reflect on this, perhaps you think that God has asked you to do some difficult and hard things in your life. But think about this. Abraham, as we read earlier, was in his 70s, and he was childless. No kids. He also, in this culture that he lived, he had no scriptures, no word of God like we have. He did not have the godliness influence that many of us enjoy, certainly not a godly family. He had no examples of faith to encourage him to do that which is right. And yet we're told in scripture that Abraham believed God and acted in obedience to him. In faith, he trusted God. And he packed up and left with confidence in what God had promised. And he began a journey to a land that he'd never seen and knew nothing about. He left Ur. He took his wife, his nephew Lot, whose father had died, and his aged father, some of his goods, his servants, and left home to a place of promise that he'd never seen. That is an act of genuine faith. It is, as we have seen in earlier verses in chapter 11, confidence in the unseen God. If you'll notice verse 8, we are told that Abraham obeyed when he was called. That word obeyed that the writer of Hebrews uses here indicates that when Abraham heard God's command, he arose and without hesitation, is the idea of this word, without hesitation, he left Ur of the Chaldees for the land of promise as God had directed. How many times do we know what we're supposed to do, what God has commanded or instructed, what His will is, and we drag our feet? We postpone it. We put it off. We make excuses not to do it. Not Abraham. God said, "This is what I want you to do." And without hesitation, he packed up and obeyed. They first traveled to Haran. 800 miles north and west of Ur. And he stayed there for a while. His father died, and then, as we read earlier, God spoke to him and time to move on. So Abraham traveled on to Canaan, about 400 more miles south and west. 1,200 miles. They were difficult miles, dangerous, slow. Roughly the distance between Bismarck and, I think, Dallas, Texas. Largely by foot. In obedience to God. You know, today with cell phones and the internet and Skype and airplanes, we think little of picking up and traveling to the remotest parts of the world. In fact, missionaries, you know, missionaries, and a wedding comes along or there's a death and they just zip home. they're here a little bit and they zip back. Not so for Abraham. In a day when family and tribe were security, both now, today, and in old age, there was no social security. There was family security. Abraham obeyed God and left the security of his family and of his tribe and of his kin. In a time when travelers were defenseless and easy prey to robbers and murderers, Abraham left home for life as a nomad in a strange and unknown country. In a time when communication and travel were poor and the unknown meant danger and isolation, Abraham arose and entered into life as a vagabond and as a pilgrim in response to the command of God. Abraham's faith brought him to obey the call of God into the unknown and risky future over all the things that naturally would have drawn him in the opposite direction. And without the benefit of Scripture, without the benefit of a church to encourage him, Abraham responded to God in faith and obedience. Now God is still calling. He's calling out a people for himself today, still, just as with Abraham. A covenant people that have his name upon them and who own him as their God and love him and serve him above everything else. God still is calling out a people. God is still calling, leave all, forsake the world. Indeed, as Jesus put it, take up your cross and follow me. Renounce sin and follow Christ. So God commands all men everywhere, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And God says, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Are you, by faith in Jesus Christ, a part of the people of God this morning? If you are in Christ, like Abraham, God is calling you to a life as a pilgrim, to a life of discipleship, to a life of following Jesus Christ. Hebrews reminds us that Abraham's faith and obedience brought him to live as a sojourner. Abraham did not put his clothes in the drawer. He lived his whole life out of a suitcase. Now what's interesting is, even when he got to the land of promise, Canaan, even after Isaac and Jacob came along, he still lived as a pilgrim, pitching his tent and moving from here to there. Notice verse 9. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the promises of God. After Abraham got to the land that God had called him to come to, even after he gets there, he lived as in a foreign country. Because, notice verse 10, he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham's citizenship as a man of faith living by faith. His citizenship, his destination was always really heaven. So Abraham lived as an exile. He lived as an alien, even in the land of promise. Except he did buy some land. He bought a little plot of land for a grave. Back in Genesis chapter 12, where of course we have the fuller story, but in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 8 it says, "And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord." So Abraham's practice as he moved about, as he journeyed, as he pilgrimed, was to pitch his tent and build an altar. Wherever Abraham was, it was temporary. And yet, even though he was in transit, he worshiped. He always fellowshipped with God, walked with God, and worshiped because he was a man of faith, though he was pilgriming through the world. Genesis 12, verse 9 tells us Abraham journeyed, going on still further to the south. This word journeyed in verse 9, it's an interesting word, but it comes from the root to pull up. If you have been one given to camping, and I mean camping, I don't mean RVing. If you have gone out and pitched tents, you know what it means to pull up stakes. You pull up stakes and take your tent down and pack it up and move on. And that's where this word at root is. It's to pull up stakes is to journey. Abraham never built a house. He never settled into the drawers. He continually pulled up stakes in his pilgrimage of obedience and faith. Christian is a part of God's people. You too are called to live as a pilgrim. Peter says to believers, "I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul." Now he uses a term, foreigner and stranger, and he uses those terms to describe us. It's not a command that we are to be pilgrims and sojourners and foreigners. He's rather making a statement that the nature of God's people, in essence and fundamentally, we are a people who are strangers and foreigners in this world. We live, as it were, spiritually, out of a suitcase in this life. We are traveling home. We are traveling to the land of promise. We are not in it. And so we resist the world's temptations to settle in and to make this our home. The reason is because, like Abraham, we too are looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. And we're just passing through. We are strangers and aliens in a world that is at war with our King. Abraham lived all his life in a tent, always a pilgrim, always walking by faith. Well, just about always. That's another sermon. Today we are so tempted, so pressured to take up residence. We're seduced by the goods and the services of the bazaar. We are awestruck by Vanity Fair. We're tempted to settle in and fill our drawers with all the tempting trinkets of the world and to make ourselves at home here in this foreign land. And Jesus warned about this. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For," and here's the clincher, "for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So the Apostle John writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever." Along this line, the scholar J.B. Phillips wrote that the early Christians trained themselves and attempted to train others not to be taken in by this world, nor to give their hearts to it, nor to conform to its values, but to remember constantly that they were only temporary residents and that their rights of citizenship were in the unseen world of reality. Too many Christians have forgotten these truths. We've settled in. We've got to thinking that this is our home. This is our destiny. And we've started living out of the drawers instead of out of the suitcases, forgetting the word of our King who said, "One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Now, God is not calling you to live like John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist? He lived off the land, not like a homesteader. He ate locusts and honey. He had rough camel's skin garments that he wore, all to serve the kingdom as the forerunner of the Messiah. God is not calling us to a life as a monastic monk. That is not the idea of being a pilgrim. But God is calling us to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a member of the household of faith. And you need to have a sense of being a pilgrim rather than a resident. You need, as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, to understand that your home is not here. Your home is in heaven. Your loyalties, your affections are with Christ, not the passing fads and trinkets of this world. We need to understand, as believers, we're to love the Lord more than anything and everything that the world offers, and indeed more than anything that our friends and co-workers value and prize so highly. We're told by Peter that Lot was vexed and worn down day by day. And you recall the situation because Lot was a righteous man, but he settled in. He got comfortable in a city that was so vile and so wicked that God destroyed it with fire and brimstone. And yet Peter tells us he was a righteous man. Troubled, but he stayed living out of the drawers. And he never packed his suitcase and he never got out until the angel of the Lord came along and literally grabbed him by his hand and dragged him out. And he lost everything except his life and his two daughters. Are you like Lot this morning? Or are you like Abraham? Are you sojourning? Or are you settling in? Are you living out of the suitcase? Or are you lining your drawers with worldly treasures that will not last beyond the grave? Jesus again put it this way: if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Fanny Crosby wrote a poem in 1879, "Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever, through eternal years the same." In verse 8, we're told that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham obeyed God. He left his family and friends, or his extended family anyway, for an unknown place based on the promises of God. We think that must have been awfully difficult. That must have been a terrible thing. You know, removing Abraham from his kith and kin, his family and his culture, in doing this, God was protecting him. He was separating him from all that evil and worldly influence of Ur of the Chaldees. He was protecting him from the idolatry and the false worship there. So that, isolated as a pilgrim, separate from everyone else around him, he might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And through his descendants become the covenant people of God. But Abraham didn't know what God was doing. Abraham didn't know why God was doing what he was doing. Even knowing it doesn't make it all that much easier, does it, sometimes? Abraham had the promises of God and nothing tangible. All he had was God's word. Yet for Abraham, a man of faith, God's word was enough. And in faith, he obeyed it, not even knowing where he was going. If you are in Jesus Christ this morning, you too are called to a life as a pilgrim. A life of faith and obedience to God, not knowing the route, just the destination. A life rejoicing to be traveling with our God. With Abraham, you do not need to know where God is taking you in this life. You only need to know that you are with Christ in the journey. And this is called walking by faith. It's a lesson that all of us continually struggle with, because it is walking, so to speak, in the dark. It's not knowing where we're going, why we're going there sometimes, not knowing what God's doing, but trusting that God knows. Living a life of faith is remembering in the darkest of times that all things work together for good for the people of God. Remember, Christian, you are not a citizen of earth trying to get to heaven. You are a citizen of heaven traveling through the world on your way home. You are a pilgrim headed to the land of promise, and your security and your hope is not in the land you are traveling through, not in the possessions and the things of this world that are so enticing. Your security is rather in the living God who has called you to Himself. When I was a teenager, I'd live part of the time on a ranch in Montana with, by the way, my sister that just passed away. And one of the things that I would regularly do was take long horseback rides on my stallion named Jerry. And I would ride for miles into the mountains. I'd be gone for hours. And this was no cell phones. No one knew where I was. But what joy that was. Finally, it would be time to head back home. Jerry would quickly understand that we were going back home. And regardless of how tired he was, his pace would quicken up. And he would no longer try to eat every Canada thistle that passed by. Sometimes he'd even start running. He was so anxious to get back home. As pilgrims, as you live in a foreign country on your journey to glory, that too should be your longing, to get home. To be clear, this is not a call to sell your, let's say, Lexus and buy an old Ford. That is not the point here. It's not a call to sell your home and live in a tent or a monastery. It is a call to discipleship, to obedience, to affection, to love the Lord your God with all of your being, with all of your heart, and to live a life of faith rather than a life of sight. It's a call to an attitude, to a way of thinking. Indeed, as the apostle put it, to present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is a call to a way of living, not for the things of this life, not for the tasty morsels of the world, the comforts and the pleasures of an alien culture, but rather in faith, living as a pilgrim, following Christ, serving Him with all of your heart. A call to lay up treasure in heaven rather than on earth, eagerly looking toward home, to that city whose builder and maker is God. The psalmist put it this way: my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the palaces of the wicked. May that be the longing of your heart this morning. Shall we pray?